John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There we go. Happy Christmas. That's the reason you didn't say it back. Right, perfect. Let me pray. And we'll get to work. Lord, what a privilege it is to be with your people this morning. Father, I just ask that you would move amongst us. I pray that you would soften our hearts and sharpen our minds to know more of the beauty of the gospel found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be with us in these moments. Pour out your spirit on us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, sadly, I missed yesterday's family nativity. And my girls are all now too old to have it done at school. And so I thought this morning we could do a last-minute nativity. And this isn't just for people who are under the age of 10. All of you are going to get involved in this. So what I need you to do is pick a character from the nativity that you want to play. For all of you women that have longed to play the role of Mary for so many years and were not picked, today is your day. Doesn't matter how many Marys we get, whatever we get, we will go with what we get. So, turn to the person next to you, maybe pick your character. Who do you want to be in the nativity? And we're going to do a very quick nativity together. Whether you are 9 or 90, now is your time to pick your favourite character. Okay, I can hear some animal noises, so what I'm going to do, let's see first who we've got in the room. So, any shepherds in the room? Hands up if you are a shepherd. Good, strong. Any wise men? Any wise men? Definitely promise at the back. Yes, I agree with that. Yes, there's some wise men. Any angels? Lovely. Some angels. Do we have any barnyard animals? Any animals? I love that you guys chose to be an animal. Fair play, no one ever wants to be an animal except you guys. Amazing. Okay, we get to the big rolls now. Do we have any Josephs in the house? Hands up. We've only got two. Fair play. Two Josephs and, here we go, the grand finale. Hands up if you are Mary. Okay. There was... Gee, that's perfect. That's going to work really well in my illustration. Amazing. Right. So there you go, I was surprised. There was less Mary than Josephs than I thought. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read the Nativity. And what we used to do in the family Nativity back in the day is when I mention your character, I want you to stand up, okay? And often when you stand up, you give a bit of a whoop or something like that, okay? Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. So now I've got to tell you that John's Nativity is a little bit different than Matthew's and Luke's. Matthew's is quite long. Luke has lots of detail, lots of shepherds, lots of angels, lots of people like that. John's is a little bit different. I'm going to read it. You stand up when I say your character. Are you ready? Here we go. It's only 8 words long, so it won't take too long. Here we go. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I don't know if I did it right. Let me try again. And the Word of became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Okay, something going on, isn't there, with John's nativity? This has been described by one commentator as Christmas in one verse. And you see how John, who knew Luke's gospel, knew Matthew's gospel, he decided to cut through all of the different characters. He decides he doesn't need any shepherds, he doesn't need any angels, he doesn't need any wise men, he doesn't even need Mary and Joseph. He only needs one character, which is described as the Word. He cuts all the way through, and John wants to make a point that there is only one essential character. There's only one person that you actually need in a nativity, and that is the Word. You see how it's interesting through our society, schools are always trying to add roles, aren't they? You've probably been in a school nativity where they are desperate to get all the kids involved, so they start making up new roles. I had a look online last night, a BuzzFeed. Here are some additional roles that you guys know. I'm not sure if any of you picked this. Let's see. You can play a chicken in some nativities. There was one that I found has a role of a badger. Maybe the most concerning is that you could play an alien in a certain nativity. Lightning. Come on, how cool is that? My two favourite, top two, a door. You can play the role of a door. And my all-time favourite, explain this to me if you can, you can play in London, there is a school that has a role of an apple. Merry Christmas. I don't really know how that works. Schools add to the nativity, John takes away. He takes away every non-essential character and he ends up with what? He ends up with the Word. So what is, or who is, the Word of God? Well, we see in the second half of the verse, says, as of the only Son from the Father. So this is the Son of God. The Word of God is the Son of God. Who is the Son of God? Jesus Christ. So the central character of John's nativity is the Word, Jesus Christ. Why does he pick the Word, though? He could have described Jesus in any way. It seems here that he wants us to know that this baby born in a manger is God's word to the world. This is God's answer to all the mess, all the difficulty, all the hardship in the world. God says, I'm sending a baby. And this baby will be the Son of God. This baby is God himself. Listen to this from Hebrews 1, verse 1. And think about the Word of God. Long ago, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God's Word is the Son of God, is God himself, is Jesus Christ, and God sends his one and only Son into the mess of the world. The Word, then, is Jesus Christ. So we go back to our nativity, and Jesus Christ became flesh. Now, what is that going on about? That sounds really weird. What it means here, thinking about Philippians 2, is that at the start of John chapter 1 as well, we see the divinity of this Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is God and is with God. We are seeing a trinity here. So Philippians 2, Jesus lays aside the glory of heaven and takes on the weakness, the limitations of human flesh, of nature. Do you understand how incredible that is? that the immortal, the invisible, the spirit God becomes flesh, takes on all the weaknesses that humans have. Now, I don't know what this year has looked like for you. Maybe it's been a difficult year, a hard year. And you could probably say to me, Tom, you don't know what I'm going through. And that's probably true. But you cannot say it of the Word of God. Jesus Christ has gone through all that you could ever go through and ever have been through. You cannot say to Jesus, you don't know what you're going through, what I'm going through, because he became flesh. He took on the weaknesses of humanity and he lived that perfect life that we should live. So our nativity, and Jesus became human and dwelt among us. Now, as I get older, I have come to realize that there are really only two types of people in the world. There are those who like camping and there are those who hate camping. Let's see. Hands up if you like camping. That's maybe just slightly less than 50%. Interesting. Yeah, I am part of the don't like camping. And I married somebody who hates camping more than life itself. And early this year, we went camping at Keswick. And the weather that the Lord put on for us was very, The idea that you would come out liking camping after that was not it. Absolutely horrible, manky, raining all the time. And what you found over the week, first day at Keswick, you couldn't tell when you looked out over the congregation, the gathering of people, who was in a tent or not. But by four or five days in, you could look out and you could see, you're a camper, because just the way that you look, the smell that goes with you as you walk around. What was interesting, though, is on stage, they all looked very pristine. All the speakers, all the worship leaders, all the people doing the notices, none of them were camping. Because you're the leaders, you're the top dogs, you're in the big position at Keswick. But did you know that Jesus loves camping? That word there, dwelt, means to pitch your tent. That's what it means in the original language. So this idea that God himself comes to earth, takes on human flesh, the frailties of humanity, and comes and lives amongst us, pitches his tent with us. He is with you in the storms. He is with you in the difficulties. He is with you in the hardship. But there's something even more significant about this idea of pitching your tent. It comes from the Old Testament word for tabernacle. So what is the tabernacle? In the Old Testament, where God would want to show and have his presence, his glory, dwell with his people, he said, I want you to build me a really big tent. This was before the temple was built. And this movable tent then would go round with the people of God. And when the tent was erected and put up, God's glory would then fall. And people would see and experience God's glory. So do you get the significance now? God sends his own son, the word of God, then, who is God's presence with us. He pitches his tent. He lives with us. No longer is this a one-time thing or a once-a-year thing or now and again thing, but you can have the presence of God with you every single day. The glory of Christ, which was veiled, which was held back in his incarnation. In John 13, an amazing thing happens. John says that Isaiah saw the Lord. Isaiah saw Jesus. And he quotes there in John 13 from Isaiah chapter 6. So I just want to read you just the first few verses of Isaiah chapter 6. And think then about the glory of Christ, who kind of veils this glory as he comes in human flesh. But this is the glory of Jesus Christ. Listen to this in Isaiah 6. And this is what John, who wrote our nativity here, said. This was Jesus. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, I saw Jesus sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is Jesus Christ. Holy, holy, holy is the word of God. The whole earth is filled with his glory. There will come a time where the glory of Christ is not just held in a tent, not even a temple, but with his people forever. Now, John was one of the three people who got to see the transfiguration of Christ, where in his humanity, Jesus veils his glory up until this point where he goes up on the hillside and he shines forth with some of that Isaiah 6 glory. And on the hillside was Moses and Elijah as well. And so Peter, this guy who always seems to get it wrong, says, I'm going to make some shelters. We're going to worship Jesus. We're going to worship Moses. We're going to worship Elijah. And then God comes in a cloud and speaks and says, this is my son in whom I love. What does he say? Listen to him, the word of God. And then as the disciples, John, Peter and James, look, only Jesus remains. Only Jesus is there because Jesus is the main character. Jesus is the one that we worship. Jesus stands alone. So our nativity in John 1 is rather surprising. Surprising who he leaves out. No shepherds, no wise men, no angels, no Mary and Joseph. But there are some other surprising characters, and I'll finish with this. The second half of the verse says, in John 1, verse 14, and we have seen his glory. The question is, who does John mean when he says we? It could be that he means him, James, and Peter. It could be that he means the disciples, but I actually think he doesn't mean them because he gives us the context in verse 12 and 13. Listen to this. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, who believed in the name of Jesus Christ, the word of God, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Into verse 14, and the word became flesh. What am I getting at? There are surprising people who are missing from John's nativity. There are also surprising people who are there. If you believe in the Son of God, if you believe in the Word of God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are part of John's nativity. You are right there. If you believe, if you put Jesus first and you remove everything else first in your life, then you get to be part of that nativity. Do you know that the word nativity simply means to be born? And so if you've been born and born again, you can be part of John's nativity. I encourage you this Christmas to put Jesus in his place. We all love to get dressed up. We all want to be Mary and Joseph. There is only one essential character, who is the Word of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Can I pray for us? We thank you for John's perspective, Lord, on the nativity, the birth of Christ. And we pray that you would help us, even this day, to put Jesus first. We thank you for the opportunity to celebrate with friends and family and films and food and all that good stuff. But I pray that we would crown Christ and put him in his place today as Lord of all, the only essential character of the Nativity. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to rescue us from this messy world. Help us to worship and honor Christ today, we ask. Amen.